The reading tonight is taken from Matthew 10, beginning at verse 16. I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Be on your guard. You will be handed over to local councils and be flogged in the synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by everyone because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. Truly, I tell you, you will not finish going through the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. The student is not above the teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for students to be like their teachers and servants like their masters. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebul, how much more the members of his household?
Continuing in verse 26, so do not be afraid of them, for is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Hello and good evening,
St. Mary's. My name is Adam Kettis. I'm one of the associate vicars here, and it's a joy to be with you all this evening. We're going to be continuing our time in Matthew chapter 10. So please do keep your Bibles open on that page. And as we delve into Matthew 10, we're entering into Jesus' school of discipleship, where he's training his followers, and he's preparing his followers. And as we enter into this school of discipleship, it has something to say to everyone who believes that Jesus Christ is their Savior and their Lord, whether they've been following him for a short time or for a long time. But maybe for those people who are just investigating Christianity or just looking into it for the first time, then this view, this passage is almost like a window into the Christian life and what it's all about. But now as we come to Matthew 10, let me say a word of prayer. Dearest God, King of kings and Lord of lords, we thank you that you do not leave us stumbling in the dark, but your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, that you speak to us so that we might know the way to go, so that we might know ourselves and that we might know you. Please, Father God, as we come to your word this day, may you speak to us afresh and anew. In the name of Jesus, amen. So we saw in Matthew chapter 10 last week, in the beginning of this school of discipleship, we saw that Jesus Christ has a mighty mission for his disciples. The mission of Jesus Christ, you've got to go and make other disciples. You've got to go and spread the kingdom of God by making other disciples. And the driver for Jesus in this mission is the compassion that he has. He sees these people and he has compassion on them. He wants them to come alive in Christ. But also we see that Jesus encourages his disciples. The first thing you need to do is pray. You need to get down on your knees and pray. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few, so get praying. And what does the mission of Christ actually look like? Well, it looks like going out and doing the works of the kingdom, but also proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, that Jesus Christ has come. And this mission, there is actually something incredibly exciting about the mission of Christ and going to make disciples. I remember going off to university And in my university, we were running a big outreach week. And in this outreach week, I was a fresher. And we would go and do a bit of street evangelism, where we'd go onto the campus, take some evangelistic questionnaires, ask some people some questions about what they thought of God, and then use it as an opportunity for us to share a little bit about Jesus Christ. And I went with I'd never done it before, so I first started off going with this third year guy called Dickon Bird, and he sort of took me under his wing, and we went off and did some questionnairing. And then after a while, I was like, okay, I think I can do this, so I went off by myself. And I went into the Humanities Cafe at Cardiff University, and I saw a lady sitting at a table, so I went up to her and asked, oh, would you like to do this questionnaire about faith? And she seemed keen, and she was like, said yes. And so we sat down, we started, and a few questions in, she said to me, Adam, because I think one of the questions was like, what do you think about Christianity? And she was like, Adam, I don't even know what Christians believe. I've got no idea. And she was like, what do Christians believe? And like, in my head, I'm like, this is the moment. But at the same time, I'm like, we believe an awful lot of stuff. But I sort of went back to my teenage days. And in my teenage days, went to a fantastic youth group and church. And we were taught a system of telling someone the gospel called Two Ways to Live, which involved these six pictures. And I knew that the heart of Christianity was the gospel. And I knew I needed to communicate the gospel to this lady. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to try and tell this lady Two Ways to Live. And so I asked if I could borrow her pen. I found a napkin and I drew these six little diagrams out on a napkin. Because that was the only way that I could think of communicating to this lady the good news about Jesus Christ. And we had this chat and then I left. And as I was walking away from this ridiculous situation where I've been drawing on a napkin, I just thought, this is the most incredible thing I've ever done. I've just shared this life-giving news with someone. And I just went home just praising the Lord. Like the mission of Christ, there is something incredibly exciting about sharing the good news about who Jesus Christ is. And yet in the midst of how exciting this mission is, one of the big things which Jesus Christ wants us to hear right now is that the mission of Christ is dangerous. And we see that all the way from verse 16 to verse 25. The first point, the mission of Christ is dangerous. Because look at the language which is used here, verse 16. I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Let's play the imagination game. Think for your head, what does a sheep look like? They're fluffy, they're weak, and they're pathetic. Okay, in our imagination game, well, what does a wolf look like? I see sharp teeth, I see claws, I see something terrifying. And we are being sent out like sheep among wolves. That's the image here which communicates how dangerous this mission is. And as we then go on, we'll see the impact of it. From verse 17, you've got to be on your guard because you're going to be handed over to local officials. You're going to be arrested. You're going to be flogged. You're going to be brought up in front of the highest authorities of the land and called to give witness. But we see that actually the danger of being a sheep among wolves isn't simply about what the authorities can do to you. It actually can even impact your own family. Verse 21. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. And this language, this is strong here. And why is that? Why is it that act of going to make a disciple might turn your very family against you? And I think the act of going to make a disciple might turn your family against you because there is something in the reality that when you become a disciple, you have to say, there was something about my past which was wicked, which was evil, which was wrong, and I'm repenting of it. I'm turning away from the darkness towards the light of Jesus Christ. And the good news is that if you turn towards the light of Jesus Christ, well, this is the place where there is life. And this is the place where there is joy, which will last for eternity. That is wonderful. But it's a hard thing, isn't it, to tell your dearest and your nearest that there is something about me, there is something about us as a family which has dwelt and lived in the darkness which we need to turn away from. There's something hard about that. And when people haven't turned away from it, then all they hear is the hardness. And that can turn a brother against a brother and a father against a child and a child against a mother. It's dangerous to do the mission of Christ. And it's dangerous because verse 22, you'll be hated. You will be hated by everyone because of me. And verse 23, and when you're doing the mission of Christ, you'll be persecuted. And you'll be driven from town to town to town. The mission of Christ is hard. And it is dangerous to do. But we shouldn't be surprised by that. No one who follows in the footsteps of Jesus Christ should be surprised by that. Why? Because of the one whom we are following. Because he is the one who was abandoned. He was the one who was arrested. He is the one who was flogged. He was the one who was crucified. If we follow in his footsteps, it should be no surprise to us that the same thing might happen. Because he is the teacher and we are but a student. He is the master and we are but a servant. If they call him Beelzebub, which means the devil, if they call him the devil, then they'll call us the devil as well. There's nothing surprising about the dangerous nature of the mission of Christ because of the one we follow. And we see that danger in who he was and in how he lived. And church history tells us that out of the 12 disciples, 11 of them go on to be killed for their faith and for telling other people about Jesus Christ, stoned and crucified. But actually, we know from the news that actually those things are still going on today. I was only reading this morning in the Week magazine, which sort of gives a roundup of news from the week, that three Christian missionaries in Haiti were gunned down this very week. Where if you go onto Open Doors, they'll tell you that 1 in 7 Christians around the world are facing persecution because of their faith. It is dangerous. The mission of Christ is dangerous. But verse 16 to 25 tells us that the mission of Christ is dangerous. Well, verse 26 to 33 tells us the mission of Christ is not dangerous. The mission of Christ is not dangerous. Look down with me at this first reason we're given, verse 26. So do not be afraid of them, for there is nothing concealed that will be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. Now we have to read this verse to understand it, I think, in the context of what has just come before. And the context of what has just come before is there will be a person who will arrest you. There will be a person who will flog you. There will be a person who will hate you. There will be a person who will persecute you and drive you from town to town and will call you Beelzebub and the devil himself. There will be a person who will do that. But one day that individual will see things clearly. Because this thing where that individual at the moment cannot see, which is hidden, will one day be revealed. The reality that Jesus Christ is the Lord of all will one day be revealed. And when he comes back, that person who beat you, who flogged you, who persecuted you, who hated you, who called you the devil, they'll see how wrong they were for doing that to you, for saying that to you. How many of you guys have seen the film One Life about the Maidenhead man? A few hands. You have to see it. I saw it with my housemates in the Odeon, and when Maidenhead came up, there was a cheer in the audience. And the story it goes, it's a real life story of a man from Maidenhead, and he was in Czechoslovakia when the Nazis invaded, and he wanted to try and save Jewish children, and so he organised trains to get the Jewish children from Czechoslovakia to Britain. And many years later, you see this man reflecting on this and going through all his old stuff. And as he's reflecting, he decides that, I can't quite remember what the driving point is, but he decides he wants to take this story to the Maidenhead advertiser. And so he takes it to them, and the advertiser want none of it. And they just sort of close the door. They don't care. He's an old man. They don't care what he's going to say. They just close the door. But then a BBC show finds out about this man and gets the man onto the show. And while on its live show, they reunite this old man with one of the people who he's saved, who's now all grown up. And honestly, like, the tears are just flowing at this moment. It is a winner of a film. And the next day, the editor of the Maidenhead advertiser is back. He's back at this old man's door. He's hammering on the door. He's like, we want to interview you now. We want to interview you now. Because suddenly he's vindicated. Suddenly this thing which was concealed has now been revealed. This thing which was hidden has now been made known. And Jesus Christ is encouraging us that the mission of Christ is not dangerous, because one day people will see. This person who calls you the devil will see how wrong they are. You will be vindicated. And the next reason the mission of Christ is not dangerous is because we have a Father in heaven who cares for us. Verse 28. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. And see, our Father in heaven cares about us. And verse 28, it's meant to shake us. But I think we sometimes read it wrongly, because I think sometimes we read verse 28, don't be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can kill both soul and body. I think sometimes we read it and think, okay, don't be afraid of the persecutor who's flogging you, but be more afraid of Jesus, of God. And there's something right there. I'm not denying that. But I think the sense of the verse, judging from the verses around it, is more that don't be afraid of this persecutor. In reality, is a mouse. They are a mouse. And you have a lion on your side. They can kill the body, but the lion can rip them apart. You have a lion on your side. And God the Father, he cares about you. He knows every sparrow which flies in the sky. He knows where it sleeps and he knows where it eats. And he knows every hair that is on your head. He knows you and he cares about you. This mission is not dangerous because God cares about you. And the last reason why this mission of Christ is not dangerous is verse 32 and 33. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. And in this warning to not disown Jesus Christ, we have an incredible encouragement. Because there is a day that is coming. And on that day, the sun will rise for the final time. And every ear in all of creation will hear the blast of a trumpet. And every eye will look up and will see the one whose splendor outshines the sun descending. They will see Jesus Christ coming down. They will see the arrival of the Son of Man. And Jesus Christ, he will look upon all his faithful people and he will see the one who is battered and who is bruised and who was flogged and who was driven from town to town and persecuted. He will see his son and his daughter and he will go and stand with them and he will take them by the hand and lead them right into the very throne room of heaven itself. And he will say to his Father, Father, this one is mine. He stood with me and I am standing with him. The mission of Christ, it is not dangerous because of this eternal perspective that if we are making disciples, Christ will acknowledge us. So the great application then of these verses is live dangerously. Live dangerously. Because the mission of Christ is dangerous, but we've got to hold it in the right perspective. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy. It doesn't mean we're going to always rejoice over it. The mission of Christ is dangerous, and we need to know that, because sometimes we'll get heat for being a Christian, or we'll get attacks for being a Christian, or we'll be mocked for being a Christian. And that danger is real, and it hurts. I remember having a gospel conversation with a friend, and I thought it went so well, and we were talking deep, and it was talking about the big things of life, and it was rich. And I thought this conversation had gone so well, and I said, do you want to go do Christianity Explored with me? And he said to me, Adam, I think you have gone the way of darkness and not the way of light. I think you are an oppressor and rather than a liberator. And like the words he said to me, they hurt me. They hurt me so much that a friend could say that to me. The mission of Christ is dangerous. We have to be real about that. Or it might happen and we think that God doesn't care about us anymore. But you can be driven from town to town and he still knows every hair in your head. And he still cares about you. We have to know that, and we have to live dangerously, knowing that the mission of Christ isn't dangerous, because we will be vindicated, because he cares for us and we will be acknowledged. And what does living dangerously look like for us? Well, for every person here, it's probably going to look a bit different. For someone, it might be just being more public about the fact I'm a Christian and I love Jesus and I follow him. Whether that be shapes the things we put on our social media or the clothing we wear, or the fact that we tell people that we go to church. For some of us to live dangerously, it might be asking more intentional sort of questions about why people believe what they believe and they think what they think and they do what they do. For some of us to live dangerously, it might be pushing it further. Being like, okay, we've had this gospel conversation, and I had a friend give me advice. Adam, you've had a good conversation with someone. Why don't you just send them a podcast about that topic? Why don't you push it a bit further? Or why don't we invite them to church or to an evangelistic event or to come along to Christianity Explored? Well, for some people, to live dangerously is going to be making bold decisions to say, I'm going to take the gospel to the other side of the world. I'm going to take it to a place where it has never gone, even though it's going to be costly to do that. Because I want to help the dead come to life in Jesus Christ. And as we live dangerously, as we make our faith known, as we ask questions, as we take it further, as we make bold decisions for Jesus, as we live dangerously, well, we have some great encouragement here from the Lord. We have some wisdom from Jesus to live dangerously, and an encouragement. And the wisdom is found in verse 16, the second sentence. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. As we live dangerously for Jesus Christ, we need to be as shrewd as a snake and as innocent as a dove. We need to be shrewd. We need to be clever. There is a time when we need to speak, and there is a time when we need to be silent. There's a time when we need to listen, and there's a time when we need to ask a question. There's a time when we need to answer what's being said. We need to be shrewd. We need to be clever. There's a time where, actually, honestly, we just need to do a bit more research and thinking ourselves. We need to be thinkers. We need to be shrewd. But we also need to be innocent. Because you could be hated for being a Christian for all the wrong reasons. Because actually, you can tell someone about Jesus and do it in a way which is defensive, or do it in a way which is obnoxious, or do it in a way which is arrogant. And none of those things are the innocence of a dove. If we are going to be hated, we need to be hated for the right reasons, because of the goodness of our lives, because of the respect of how we talk to someone who we disagree with. And I think that means we need to start living a life which is a paradox, creates a paradox in people's minds. Because actually, at the moment, people think of Christianity, and actually they think, Adam, you just have an outdated, obnoxious sexual ethic, and I think you're dangerous. People have literally said that to me. But reality is, we all have to live a paradox. They have to think, oh, Adam, you're obnoxious and you're dangerous. And yet they have to see a man who's generous and kind and good. Now, I'm not saying I always do that. But that's what we've got to do. We've got to live this paradox. You think what we believe is outdated, and yet we're the most generous people you know. You think what we believe is dangerous, and yet we speak to you with kindness and love. Live the paradox. Be innocent in front of them. But Jesus has wisdom for us, but he also has an encouragement. Let's go from verse 18. On my account, you'll be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you'll be given what to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. And this is a great encouragement of Jesus as we live dangerously. We're not alone. We are not alone. The Holy Spirit is living within us and will use weak words for God's glory. You can be in front of the most powerful individual of the land, or the most popular person in school, or your boss at work, and the Holy Spirit is with us. And that might mean he gives us eloquent, prepared, beautiful words, which are very descriptive, or it might mean he gives us humble, weak words. The manner in which he's with us isn't described here, but he is with us using our weak words for his glory, to proclaim the good news. And you might be sat there being like, but I don't feel like the Spirit of God is with me. Well, you know, there is only one person, only one believer in the world who the Spirit of God has ever abandoned. Only one. And that person was nailed to a cross. And he was nailed to the cross so he could carry the weight of our sin and our rebellion. And as he carried it, the Father in heaven and the Spirit departed him. And he cried out, Father, Father, why have you forsaken me? And he breathed his last and he died. And he did that so that we would never be alone. So that we who claim Christ would be a son of God and have the Spirit in us forever. Jesus died so that you would never be alone. He loves you far too much to send you into this dangerous situation and ever leave you alone. Let's just spend a moment in our own minds and our own hearts, reflecting on how the Lord is calling us to live dangerously for him. Oh, dearest God, King of kings and Lord of lords, we pray may you help us, Father God, to live boldly and courageously for you and for your Son. And will you give us the eyes to see how we can speak of your Son, Jesus Christ, in our lives and with our families. And we thank you that your word is honest about how difficult that will be. But we pray, Father God, may many of the people in our families and in our homes and in our streets and our workplace and our school, may many people become your disciples for our witness. And we thank you, Father God, that you're always with us. You'll give us the words to say, that one day we'll be vindicated for our belief, that you love us and you care for us. And that if we're living and speaking for you, then your Son Jesus Christ on that final day will acknowledge us. We thank you for all this, and we ask for you to help us to live dangerously for you. In the name of Jesus. Amen.